You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
There is a word from the Lord this morning, and it comes from a very familiar text, just a different perspective. That's Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 1. A very familiar text. Selena will probably be like, "You preached from there before." Yes, I did. But God always finds a way of showing us something else. Something else. But on another note, our youth are listening. Amen. Listening, pay attention. They're paying attention and taking notes. Luke, the fourth chapter. I'll be reading from the New International Version this morning. Text reads like this from verse 1. It's beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. I'm going to tack on verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power. Somebody say, in the power, of the Spirit. Will you pray with me and pray for me? Sovereign God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this worship. We thank you for this experience. And now, as I stand behind this sacred desk, I realize, oh God, that it's preaching time. So I'm asking, God, that you deal with this earthen vessel you created called Sean Birch and have thine own way with me right now. Hide me behind the cross so that you, God, and your word gets total focus. Now, God, I'm mindful I'm not perfect. So if there's any mess in this earthen vessel, please remove it right now so it does not get in the way of anybody else's blessing or miracle. I trust you, O Lord. Help us to be led by the right things versus being led by the wrong things or the wrong people. Have thine own way in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
May be seated in the house. For a sermon title this morning, I want to tag this text, Being Moved by the Holy Ghost. Being moved by the Holy Ghost. Somebody turn to the neighbor. Go ahead. You know the deal. Turn to your neighbor. Good morning, neighbor.
Be moved by the Holy Ghost.
Now I need somebody to find another neighbor, and I want you to give your new neighbor the same smile you gave your other neighbor, and tell that neighbor, good morning, neighbor.
Good morning, neighbor.
Be moved by the Holy Ghost.
Be moved by the Holy Ghost.
Now I know this part will be a little bit difficult for most people, but I need you to find somebody that you have beef with this morning. Yes, beef. Yeah, you. Someone you have an attitude, somebody you're angry with. Here at Spirit of Unity, we're going to take that beef, cook it, grill it, and eat it. And I need you to locate that person. And yes, the person you have beef with, I need you to look that person in the eye and give them the same smile that you gave your other two neighbors. And say, good morning, neighbor.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, neighbor. Be moved by the Holy Ghost.
Be moved by the Holy Ghost.
Be moved by the Holy Ghost. Just to build maybe a little bit of context. Luke 4 comes on the heels of Jesus' baptism. You find that in Luke 3. Jesus gets baptized in the Jordan River. We know this to be true because even in verse 1, the Bible tells us that Jesus left the Jordan. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. During this baptism moment, the Bible also informs us that the Holy Spirit falls upon Jesus in the bodily form of a dove. Could you imagine that? You being baptized, and then the dove descends upon you. Jesus has the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, descend upon him. And at that moment, we also know that's recorded that there was a voice that came from the heavens. What the voice say? This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, there we go. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus, the son of the one and only true living God. Jesus, who is the savior of the world, has been baptized, and now the Spirit of God descends upon him. But it doesn't stop at baptism. How many of us have ever been baptized before and we thought that everything would just get better? Or I thought maybe I was going to talk to some folk that I'm baptized now. Nothing can get in my way. I'm baptized now. I can do anything. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I'm just trying to set some realities that although we get baptized, it doesn't mean we can't be tested or tempted. Jesus is tested by God in the wilderness. But also there's another character that decides to enter the wilderness with Jesus.
All right. But
before we get to that character, we have to understand something, because it bothered me with the fact that Jesus is baptized by his cousin. The Spirit descends upon him. And it says that in Luke 4, 1, that Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can't stay in the same location. Now I'm gonna help you out now. I'm gonna help you out. Now, some people will use that and say, Pastor said I don't have to stay in the same location. That does not mean church. I want you to come to church. I would imagine that the Jordan River felt good, nice and cool. And many of us would stay in that river versus standing outside on the hot concrete any given day, particularly right now. Jesus is full of the Spirit. And being full of the Spirit, it says that Jesus left the Jordan. Now, here's the thing, Pastor, that bothered me. That it said that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You mean to tell me, God, that the moment I get baptized, you mean to tell me, God, the moment that I draw closer to you, here is your Spirit throwing me into the wilderness? The wilderness, dry place. The wilderness, an uncomfortable place. The wilderness, no shelter from the sun. We are all blessed right now because we can come inside and benefit from the air conditioning, but Jesus was led into a scorching environment where he didn't even have a tree to keep him covered and sheltered from the blazing sun. The wilderness, where in this particular spot, there was no other human contact. There were wild animals. And so now the wilderness becomes a harsh environment with wild animals, and the elements are not fitting for someone to survive. And then what is also added to this wilderness experience is the fact that not only does Jesus not have shelter, not only does he not have any human contact, for 40 days and 40 nights, he's now tempted by the devil. The devil. The Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He's tempted by the devil. And not to mention, he does not even eat for 40 days. You know, what's funny, my wife, you know, and let's be clear. Jesus fasted during this time. Are you with me? Jesus fasted during this time. I'm sure, look, there were wild animals out there. I'm sure if he wanted to hunt, he could have. But he fasted during it. So what does the Bible tell? It's telling us that he made a decision to fast, to go without. Can I also give you this one for free? When you submit to the moving of the Holy Spirit, it also acknowledges that you're preparing yourself to trust God and only God in whatever environment that you go into. Okay, you're not hearing me. You and I have been in some harsh environments that we should not have survived. But because the moment we gave our lives to the Lord, God decides to give God's Spirit to us, and God's Spirit will lead and guide us and protect us. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he had an attitude that I'm being moved by the Holy Ghost, and by me being moved by the Holy Ghost says that I'm going to trust God to help me through whatever environment that I may be in. Now, some of you came in here today sitting down looking cute and you look handsome. But I'm telling you right now, when you go through some hell and when you go through the fight of your life, when the Holy Spirit leads you to a place that you didn't think you should have belonged, well, Holy Spirit, I don't know if I should be in this wilderness. No, the Holy Spirit led you there. And I dare I say, if the Holy Spirit led you there, then the Spirit of God can get you through it, get you out of it, and prepare you every step of the way. Jesus is led into this environment by the Spirit of God. But it wasn't so much the environment, I believe, that tripped Jesus out. What gave Jesus confidence is that the fact he was following the right person. Now, if somebody called the Holy Spirit an it, you better look at them funny, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. The only it you ought to find in Holy Spirit is in spirit.
All right.
Okay. S-P-I-R-I-T, it, spirit, it. Okay. That's the only place you're going to see the it, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Person just like you and I, person that can experience, a person that can teach, a person that can lead us through some horrible conditions. And what's more horrible than going into an environment that's not only harsh, but now you have the enemy that is sneaking around, trying to sneak, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil does. Following the right person. Sister Sharon, I remember years ago, and I was, God, I had to be about 10 or 11. We were in Baltimore, and I was, and my brothers and I, we were in foster care, but the foster family, you know, they had their family and friends where we were visiting some other relatives up in the Baltimore area. So we were all riding bikes and everything. And, you know, I had this particular cousin, and he was distributing bikes. Now, you know, we consider him to be the leader because we thought he was brave and cool and everything. So we followed his lead. So, you know, we were riding bikes and all that. And our so-called leader was saying, yeah, let's ride all of our bikes just downhill as fast as we can. So we follow the leader. How many of you have ever followed the leader before? Yeah, we followed our brave and cool leader, and we were going down this hill. Now there was a dead end at the end of the hill, and it was like this metal guardrail, and the rest of everything was like bushes and trees and all that. So we're going downhill as fast as we can, laughing and having fun. And so all of a sudden, everybody starts braking. And so I see everybody braking, and I saw my fearless leader, my cousin who was cool in there, he was braking. He said, all right, let's stop. Everybody's stopping right before it. I'm pressing my brakes, but I kept going fast. Now, I figured I wasn't the most intelligent person in the world, but I knew in my mind that if I pump the brakes, I should stop. And I said, well, maybe you gotta pump the brakes at the pedals. You know how it is, you gotta go backwards and then it will start braking. It didn't do it. So now I'm realizing I followed someone that gave me a vehicle a vehicle that didn't have any brakes. I followed the lead of somebody that had their own personal protection, but I was about to hit a dead end sign and surely fly into the woods. What happened? I hit the dead end, flew off the bike, and went into the woods. What am I trying to say? I love my cousin. I do. But there are some people we can't follow in every situation because sometimes folk don't have everything figured out for us. We have followed many people into different environments and we got beat up real bad. We followed a lot of folk in various environments and we got hurt deep in our hearts. We followed a lot of folk that we thought had our best intentions, but we soon find out that it was ended up being a tempting moment or a moment that caused us to draw from God instead of grow closer to God. But I figure this, that God works all things for the good. Whatever the devil may intend for bad, God can work it out for good. What am I trying to say? And what is the Bible trying to say? Although the devil shouldn't have been in the wilderness, God said, I'm still going to make it work out for my good. Oh, you ain't hearing me. How many times has your enemy, how many times has the devil tried to set you up? And when other people surely thought it was your downfall, God worked it out for your good. No, I really want you to take a moment and thank God for a moment that when you should have been dead, should have been in jail, should have lost your job, should have been sick, should have been set up, God still worked it out for your good. Though, aren't you glad that the should have moments did not bring you down, did not draw you away? Aren't you glad that God was with you every step of the way? Will somebody say, yeah? So God will test us. God is not interested in tempting us. That's not a part of God's agenda or design. Now the devil will tempt you. Yeah, the devil will tempt you because the devil wants to find ways to entice you and then accuse you because Satan means accuser. And so the devil tempts you. He sets you up by tempting you and hoping that you're enticed and you fall for the temptation so he can say, I told you, God, they were no good. And so we see in this text that Jesus ate nothing for 40 days. And at the end of those 40 days, he was hungry. Did you catch it? He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. Here goes the devil. It's always in the moment of weakness when the devil shows up and tempts your flesh. Devil ain't going to tempt you when the devil knows you're strong, when you're walking strong in the Lord. It's in those moments where you're weak. It's in those moments when you doubt God. That's when the devil wants to show up. Jesus is in a harsh environment. He has had nothing to eat for 40 days and 40 nights. We see that Jesus is clearly hungry. The writer makes it specific that Jesus is hungry. How many of you have ever been hungry when you went some hours without eating? If you ain't raising your hand, I'm concerned. I started fasting back in, I started intermittent fasting back in late January, February. Now, that period was rough. It was rough because, you know, going without food for like 14 to 16 hours, that's hard. Could you imagine doing it for 40 days? I mean, but it was all a part of my plan, you know, as far as my workout plan, eating the right things, cleansing my body, my temple out so that I could be more effective for the Lord. But in those moments, you're tempted to break the fast. Okay, I got somebody say, I got it. It's in those moments when you try to do the right thing that you get tempted because your flesh is weak, it's in those moments when you want to walk right with the Lord, but the enemy will tempt you in order to entice you and draw you away from your relationship with God. Hungry. Yeah, I was hungry and I got tempted in those moments. I got tempted because, man, I wish I had a hamburger right now. But I'm Holy Spirit, don't break your fast. Okay. Then you walk around, you see Oreo cookies in the house. Man, it just. Surely, you know, if I just, one or two won't hurt. But someone said, don't break your fast. When the enemy tempts us, the enemy wants us to break our relationship with God so that we can feed into our flesh and then fall miserably before God. But in those moments when I wanted to break my fast, I believe it was even then the Holy Spirit reminding me and teaching me, don't break it. Because oftentimes the devil wants you to be satisfied off of temporary things when the Spirit is telling us that there is eternal rewards if you just hold on. Don't give the enemy the satisfaction by breaking your relationship with God, breaking your fast. I don't know what your fast is, and this is metaphorically for whatever else is going on in your life that you're trying to hold on to. That's going to get you to that next level or that next stage in your life. Jesus saying, hold on to the Spirit and don't break your fast. Don't break your commitment with God. I'm going to put it like this, and we all can relate to this. Now, as a pastor, surely I get upset sometimes. I do. And some of my pastor friends in here today understand it's not easy leading people. Say that again. He said, that's right. And this is not a shot at anybody. This is a reality for all pastors. It's hard to lead people because we are confronted with various and different personalities. Now, there are some folk that will tempt you to get out of your character. Have you ever had anybody that really tried you? I thought I was talking to folk that once were lost, but now found. You know, you had those moments where somebody knew how to get under your skin and really wanted to test you so you can get out of your character so they can say, I told you they were no good. Trying to set you up and make you look foolish before the church and before God. Yeah, pastors get tired of that too. And we do get tempted to get out of character. Oh, how many times, Reverend London? How many times? But God does something that we don't even factor in when we're going through hard moments. God is with us. I'm gonna put it like this. Lily, when I should have cussed somebody out yesterday, God was with me. When I should have gave in to drugs or alcohol, God was with me. When I should have went the other way, God was with me. And I know I'm talking about myself, but how about you go down your own corner and reflect on the moments when you were tempted to do something, but you didn't do it, and you're wondering why you didn't do it. God was with you. God was with you. God was with me. And even in the midst of our hunger or our weaknesses, the enemy will try to tempt us. So this joker, the devil, says, well, I recognize you're hungry and I know you got some power. How about you turn them stones into bread? Now, many of us Some of, you know, if we're that hungry, we probably would have exercised that right. And we would have not made no regular bread. Y'all would have been making rolls like Golden Corral. What'd you say, Amore? Cheddar Bay Biscuit. Texas Roadhouse Rolls. I love it. I love it. We're reminded, Jesus reminds us that man shall not live on bread alone. It's not that, look, I'm going to read that one more time because I need folk to really get this. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Somebody tell their neighbor, alone. It's not that you can't have bread, but the physical bread should never supersede the power of God that we ought to rely on when we're going through some harsh moments. So I know you want that Texas Roadhouse Rolls, and I know you want that Cheddar Bay Biscuit, and I can't forget about the butter. But when we are in those moments of hard times, I want to remind you that bread can't do it all by itself. The devil will make you think that all you need to do is start transforming things into bread and you could gobble it up. All you need to do is just trust God, that God will give you everything you need in the moments that you need it. Even though you don't think you can make it, God will make sure that you make it. Even though you can't take it, God will make sure that you can take it. Even though you can't find your way, God will make sure that you will find your way. How many of you have been lost, but God made a way out of no way? I want somebody in here right now to testify for a moment and just say, thank you, God, for never leaving me or forsaking me. It's nothing wrong with bread, but you can't do it without God. So what we think, that, and Jesus also shows us something profound, that when the devil starts tempting you, just quote scripture. Pastor, I don't have the best memory. Does everybody have a phone? Does your phone have a Bible app? You have Google? Find a scripture. Whatever your temptation is, find a scripture that will counter it. And speak that thing to the enemy. Speak that scripture. Speak that word. I believe the word has power. Unbelievable power. And this word will guide us and help us in moments of temptation. Woo. Okay. But I need to prepare you for another reality, that even though the devil tries to tempt you the one time, and when you respond the right way, it doesn't mean the devil gonna give up. Oh, y'all thought the devil gave up on the first try? No. It says in verse 5 that the devil led him up to what? Here we go. Led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. He said to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. I'm sorry, the devil lying right there. Cap. Oh, okay, some of y'all may not know what cap mean. Cap mean you're lying. You're not keeping it 100. The first lie, I just saw the fact that the devil said that all authority, that he said it has been given to me. There's nothing on this earth that belongs to the devil. I'm sorry. God created me. God made the earth. God made the birds. God made the bees. God made the wind. God made the air. God made the atmosphere. God made it all. It belongs all to God. Why in the world would God create to give it to some crazy joker like the devil? No, God had it all. Why would God give it up? No, the devil be lying. We got to be careful following people that are committed to lying to us in our face in order to get what they want. Don't let no one trick you. Don't let no one set you up. See, the reason why folk want to tempt you and get you out of character is because they want to destroy your life so that they can get what you have. Even the devil understood that Jesus is the Son of God. Even the devil understood that Jesus is the Lord. The devil wants to be in charge. The devil wants to rule our lives. But I'm sorry, on this day, Satan, you can't have my life. You can't have her life, his life, their life, because they don't belong to you. I don't belong to you, devil. We belong to God. So yeah, the devil will tell you that I can give you stuff. There's people that will tell you they can give you stuff. Your blessings is not mixed up in stuff. Your blessings is tied to eternal things. So that's the second time. And mind you this, and this is how I know the devil lies so much, that this is what the devil wanted. The devil wanted Jesus to worship him. And it would all be yours. I know that's a lie. Jesus says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There's only one creator. There's only one ruler of the cosmos. There's only one divine God, Yahweh. And that is the only God we worship. Stop worshiping other people. And this is the thing I get upset with. I know you love me, but don't create a pedestal that's so high. Oh, I wish somebody would. Look, I'm trying to deliver us all. The reason why we can't forgive people that are in high places, because we built high places for people and we look up to them, and when they mess up and fall down, you don't want to forgive anybody. You don't want to. We gotta stop treating other people and things and money and cars and possession as if they're worthy of our worship. Instead of worshiping the things you have, how about we worship the one who gave you the things in the first place? Because when you're moved by the Spirit, you know who to worship. No. You ain't gonna do that to me today. When you're moved by the Spirit, you know who to worship. I know I worship God. I know I lift up Jesus. Oh, these shoes are nice, but these shoes didn't save my soul. I got soles on my feet. See that double entendre? I got soles on my feet, but the soles on my feet didn't save my soul. Jesus, by his work on Calvary, saved my soul. Oh, y'all forgot I used to rap. I still rap. I rap back in the day. So for anybody that knows, I will throw a double entendre or a triple entendre in my examples. And I thank God y'all picked up on it. When we're moved by the Holy Ghost, we know who to worship. It ain't the devil. It ain't Donald Trump. It ain't Joe Biden. It ain't any senator. We got people losing their minds over Trump and Biden. Trump and Biden don't have heaven or hell to put you in. Trump and Biden can't save your soul. Trump and Biden will not lead you to salvation. And I can guarantee you this, Trump or Biden would not die on an old rugged cross so that they could wash away your sin. Stop following people that only have an agenda for themselves. Is this good? Is this good? Okay. When we're moved by the Holy Ghost, we also have to realize that we should never be in a position to test God. See, this wilderness experience And I'm going to end it here. This wilderness experience likens it to another wilderness experience, except Jesus did it right, but the people in Exodus did it wrong. Oh, y'all remember the children of Israel? They were in the wilderness. Jesus did not have any food for how many days?
40.
How many years were they in the wilderness?
40
years. You know what's crazy about the Israelites' wilderness experience in Exodus and the journey in the Old Testament? Many scholars say that they were in the wilderness complaining and grumbling against Aaron and Moses, and then a lot against Moses, complaining against their leader. Why did you bring us out here? We were better off in Egypt. We's hungry. We want some food. We don't want that bread anymore. Why can't we have quail? Why we keep on having quail? Where are the steaks at? You know, those, I added that in. I don't know if they had steaks or not. So, people complained and complained and complained for 40 years. But many scholars said they could have came off their exit into the promised land if they had shut down the complaining. Do you realize that by testing your leaders that are called by God, you are actually, can I reword it? When you're grumbling and complaining against your leaders that are called by God, in effect, and it backs it up in Exodus 16, it says also that you are actually complaining against God. So the next time you say, Pastor, why we got to do it this way? I'm like, mm-mm. It's reminded here that you don't test God. And the people were testing God, not being obedient to instructions. And do you not know that when they could have been out of the wilderness earlier, it says that they kept on looping in the wilderness and missing the exit over and over and over again. Remember a few Sundays ago, I told y'all how I relied on GPS, and sometimes, you know, when you plug in your address in the GPS is supposed to get you to where you need to go, right? But then there's times that, you know, it gets tricky with the GPS because you're trying to time when you get off the exit. But then I remember those times where I missed the exit. Then I found myself getting off somewhere else, going in a circle just to try to catch the exit again. But then when you're on a busy highway, it's hard to get over to the exit. It seems like all obstacles are in the way. I was complaining in the car, didn't want my wife's help, told my wife to be quiet, so she got quiet. And so then, oh, I'm about to bless you real good. I got quiet. I told my biggest partner and my advocate to be quiet because I was so frustrated. I was so frustrated because I was going in circles. I was so frustrated because there were obstacles getting in my way to get off the exit that I knew I should get off on. And then as I kept on traveling and I was just getting so discouraged, I finally turned to my wife with my lips poked out and my eyes looking like a puppy dog. And I said, baby, can you help me now? Watch this. I'm about to help you. I liken my wife. My wife is not the Holy Spirit, but in this imagery, in this illustration, my wife is the Holy Spirit in this sense that when we travel in life, how dare we tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet? The moment you shut God out is the moment you have now said, I'm committed to walking in circles, and you're going to continue to miss the exit of your promised land. Jesus shows us that we do not deny the Spirit's leading, nor do we deny the Spirit's guiding. I shouldn't have told my wife to be quiet. I shouldn't have fed into my flesh. But the devil wants us to do things that are inconsistent with God's will. The devil will take you to some high places. How many of you all have ever been on a roller coaster before? I've been on a roller coaster before. Have you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, some people would get terrified. I relish that moment. I'm up there. Just look. I'm ready. But it's something about a high place where you see everything. And it's like in the Lion King movie where Mufasa told Simba, you know, they were in a high place and they said, everything the light touches is yours, son. But you see this huge landscape. The devil thought that he could tempt Jesus with this huge landscape. He said, look, even more, I'm gonna try to convince you how powerful you are. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now, don't be listening to the devil. Jesus does something, I'm gonna paraphrase it. Because I got the power don't mean I always have to use the power just to appease you. Oh, I wish somebody would hurt. We got devils in our lives trying to tempt us to use something that God never told us to use. And then we try to use it and we end up falling flat on our face. Jesus doesn't get tempted by the devil in that way, even though the devil said, yeah, the angels will come. Yeah, they will pick you up. Yeah, they're going to make sure you don't hit your foot on a stone. But Jesus says, you know what? Do not put the Lord God to the test. Devil, you trying to set me up. Devil, you trying to take my blessings away. Devil, you trying to separate me from the Father. And so all I'm just trying to say is when the devil tempts you and when the devil tries to pull you away, let the devil know that you're not going to be tempted and you're not going to test God. The people tested God and look what happened to them. We can stand in God's way or God will move us out the way. And when the devil realizes your commitment to God, then you will see that the devil will finish and run away. But here's the thing. The devil is always looking for an opportunity to come right back and clap back at you. And all I just want to leave you with this, when the devil tries to seek another opportunity to clap back and come back at you, remember to always be moved by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will have you moving like Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was a bad man. He knew how to dodge all the blows and all the punches. He knew how to weave and bob. Come on now. He knew how to throw the right jabs. He was led by some particular person or force that he believed was going to help him through his fights. Well, in the fight of our life, we need to listen to our coach, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you how to weave and bob. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to move. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to dance like David danced in the midst of some hard circumstances. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will lift you up. The Holy Spirit will give you guidance. Stand to your feet, being moved by the Holy Ghost. Being moved by the Holy Ghost. You know what the Bible also told us? If the Holy Spirit is living in you, then there's no excuse why Christians should be so still. Always still on the youth, still on serving community, still on one another. No, we're people of action, but we've got to be actionable God's way. Doors of the church are open.